This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
And welcome to episode 73 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. And Mike looked like he actually scared himself there. He like literally jumped back an inch in his chair when he said,
"Hello,
intro."
Yeah. Well, I was like that was aggressive.
Was afraid of himself. Like, oh my God, did that come out of my mouth?
I was just thinking, wow, that was more aggressive than I planned.
Well,
another fun-filled week of exciting stuff and things.
Yeah. It was, for me, it was a light week. I'll be honest. Like, I know that's usually your role in this is to say that you had a light week.
Because I worked too much overtime or something. I didn't have time to watch TV.
Yeah. I wasn't even working overtime, but I was on 10s and cuts right in the middle of the day, the 1 to 11s.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you gotta leave by noon.
Yeah.
You get out at 11. I mean, you can watch maybe a show.
Yeah, and then you gotta go to bed, and you wake up, and then you don't have any time to watch anything in the morning.
No, because you got errands to run. You got stuff to do.
I get it.
Yeah, it was a light week, but I did manage to get in some quality TV watching.
Yeah, I got a little bit of TV watching in.
Yeah, got a few news things.
I'm gonna jump off the dock here. Talk about the movie we all just watched. You, me, and the wife.
Yep. That's my only movie for the week. So
yeah, me too. We watched Opening Night, which stars Topher Grace and the and Joe from Supernatural.
Alona Tal.
Oh, there you go. And some other people in it.
Rob Riggle. Here.
Anna Higgs. Was it Anne Heche?
Anne Heche.
And
J.C. Chavez.
Yes, from NSYNC. The other NSYNC guy.
Yeah, the other guy from NSYNC.
Essentially, what the show is about is it's the opening night of a musical, and it's a musical about one-hit wonders, and it's the backstage stuff going on. Topher Grace is the showrunner, blah blah blah, and I assumed it was just going to be about a musical, but it actually was in itself a musical featuring all one-hit wonder songs.
Yeah,
so it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. It was enjoyable.
Topher Grace doesn't sing well.
No, he does not.
But like my wife said, well, I never have to watch that again.
Actually, I believe she said, well, I never, ever, 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 ever have to watch that again.
That's true. That's not one to keep in the old Netflix list.
And then she made
list.
Some racial slurs.
I don't think she made racial slurs,
John. Maybe that was just a bit.
We can't even make jokes about that in the times we're in right now.
That's true. That is true. No, but she did call into question your ability to choose a movie properly.
Okay, look.
And
here's
that got
the
into
deal.
A spirited discussion
here's
about
here's the deal. I gave her three options for movies.
Take it or leave it.
We watched the trailers for Absolutely Anything with Simon Pegg. And we watched the trailer for Masterminds. And I watched the trailer for this. And we watched one other trailer. It's a movie called Wild Oats with Jessica Lange and Shirley MacLaine. And I think Demi Moore's in it, but maybe it's a cameo because you see her in the trailer, but her name's not anywhere in like when they talk about it. So anyways, it's like The Whales of August, but this time frame, or Thelma and Louise, The Next Generation type of thing. And I just didn't think
Thelma and Louise, if they'd survived the fall.
If they survived the fall. But I just didn't think it would be something John would care about or appreciate.
I didn't find out about this until after the movie that was one of the ones on the table, because he had just said, you know, hey, come on over. I'm going to find something for all of us to watch.
Right.
Had you chosen that one, I probably would have just gone out and driven around Gardner until it was over.
See, yeah, exactly. I mean, it does look funny, but it's not something you would care about.
No.
It is something I'm going to end up watching with Kate.
Yep.
And I'm fine with that.
And I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. But
I really was hoping to watch Absolutely Anything.
Oh, me too.
But she wanted to go with Opening Night and then blamed me when it wasn't as good as she would hoped it would be.
I enjoyed it as well. It was predictable, but it had some good funny
ridiculously
stuff.
Ridiculously predictable.
And, yeah. It was fun. I'd suggest watching it. If somebody said, hey, do you think I should watch this? If you like a good, funny movie, you know, with some what I would consider all-star B-list actors.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then some music you're all familiar with because it's one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
And done in a funny way. There's a couple good dance sequences. There's a guy and a girl having a competition over who's going to bang a guy first.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's some great humor in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very adult humor in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a kid-friendly movie.
Drugs, ecstasy.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyhow. There you go.
I give it a thumbs up.
I did kind of watch another movie this week.
Oh?
I watched half a movie, and I haven't finished it yet. I watched half of Alien Covenant.
Oh. Are you going to finish it?
Probably.
That was a long pause, my friend. Long pause.
It wasn't bad, per se. Like, I know it's getting, it's getting shit on a lot. People aren't liking it. I think if they would have just called it Prometheus 2 instead of Alien Covenant, it probably would have done a little better.
I hated Prometheus.
See, I didn't mind Prometheus at all.
Hated.
See, I didn't mind it.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole thing yet, so I can't really judge it based on what I've seen other than to say they're building a story. I don't know what the story is going to be. I don't know what the payoff is going to be.
Gotcha.
So far, like, the poster implied we're going to see the alien, right? And we have seen some aliens that came out of people's bodies, but they weren't the ones that we're familiar with or used to. They're a different breed or species or whatever. I mean, there's some similarities in the appearance, but it's not... By any means, it's not the same.
The standardized name for the alien is the xenomorph.
Yeah.
Because they adapt to whatever they come out of. So right. That's why you'll see some that look like cats because they came out of a cat. Or, right. You know, the humanoids or the predator.
The predator one version, yeah. But these were humans they were coming out of, and it didn't look like the ones we were stereotypically used to seeing so far. It doesn't mean we're not going to see one at some point, but I haven't gotten there yet.
I gotcha. So, I hear you.
And it really is a sequel to Prometheus. I mean, friggin' David's in it from Prometheus, you know? So, yeah. And there's another android in it named Walter that they're the same. They're like twins, if you will, but they're different.
So Michael Fassbender's in it twice?
He plays a dual role. Actually, he plays three roles in this
movie. Oh, wow. Does he get to collect three paychecks?
I don't know. I'm not privy to the
accounting practices on this yet.
But essentially, he plays David, the original one from Prometheus. He plays Walter, a newer model that's had some options taken away from him because of what they consider defective in David.
Okay.
The ability to create or something like that.
Okay.
And then the other role that we see is at the very beginning of the movie, he is Michael Fassbender is playing the guy that he made these androids in his own likeness.
Oh, wow. So he's got an ego on him.
He does. He's got a very probably large Oedipus complex.
Mm.
But I haven't finished it yet, and maybe I will. Maybe I will not. I don't know.
See, that's what happened to me a couple weeks back with Masterminds. I got halfway through it, got called away to do something else, and said, I just don't care to see the rest of this movie.
Which I'm glad we know now instead of when I said, we're going to watch Masterminds.
Well, yeah, if you had said that, I would have said, no. Just so you know.
But anyhow,
yeah.
So let's talk about stuff that we also watched this week.
Yeah.
Some TV shows and stuff. And yeah. I watched Midnight Texas.
Yep, I watched that as well.
And basically, this episode, a succubus is in town. She's killing people like the succubuses do by sucking them. And of course, the team bands together and they stop her. And Creek's brother is wicked annoying.
Uh huh.
Bobo is billed as being a human, but his fighting skill seemed quite heightened for just being a mortal.
Yeah.
And then we also learned that Olivia, who's the hitman, was a prostitute as a kid by her stepmother.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way she is. Who knows? I'm not going to give up on this show.
Okay.
But it's definitely didn't wow me this week.
No. See, for me, it stepped down a little further because I was already kind of at the, not sure.
Yeah.
And this week's episode for me was a big thumbs down. Like,
yeah.
I noticed that there was a conflict next week, and I could have resolved it in like 15 or 16 different ways of like, you know, oh, I'll record this later. And I went, no, I'm just not going to record Midnight Texas.
Well, What was the conflict? What else were you recording?
American Dad and I want to say Preacher, maybe.
They moved Midnight to Sunday?
No, Preacher's on Tuesdays.
I thought Midnight Texas was on Monday.
Midnight Texas on, I don't know.
I watch it on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's, oh, hey, the new episode's out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I just know that there was a conflict, and I could have picked another night for American Dad or something else, and I just went, nah.
All right, fair enough.
So I'm pretty much done with it after this episode, especially watching that, what I considered stupid, cliched romance with Bobo and the chick there.
Fiji.
Yeah, the exorcist girl who, you know, she's like,
Wicked.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you know, you could come over too. And the other girl's like, no, I want to give you two time alone so you can bond and you can have the
Yeah.
And basically Fiji tries and then Bobo goes and picks a fight. And she's like,
he's got to go kill people trying to kill him.
Yep. Yeah. And so she's like, oh, I'm so torn now because I want you to love me and I want to love you. But then you kill people and meh. It was terrible. I didn't approve.
Doesn't sound like you're giving it the old thumbs up at all.
No.
All right. Well, see how
they had some nice line dancing when they all went down to the local watering hole.
Down to the old honky tonk, yeah.
Lure out the succubus, and we kept, like, it was such bad cuts because, like, one minute they'd all be split to the four corners of the place, you know, and, like, somebody's lying. The assassin is perfectly line dancing with everything
she
else.
She is talented.
And, you know, the vampire's making jokes at the bar. You know, the guy's like, can I get you something? He's like, well, I've been off it for a while. It's too tempting to come back. The guy's like, I don't care, whatever. You know, just walks off and he's like, oh, blood. But then all of a sudden, the next second, they're like all collected together in one group and they're like, we should spread out and go.
It's a small bar. Okay, it's not very large. Well, seeing how you didn't like that, what is something you like that you watched this week?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones, huh? So I'm going to say this real quick. We watched this. My wife and I ended up watching this. We went to work one day. We had to watch it early, so we watched it with my two-year-old son. And
they really are good parents.
We just decided that we were like, all right, well, if the episode gets too violent or sexual or whatever, we'll stop it. We'll do whatever.
And right, you know, in the beginning, it doesn't say anything about nudity or sexual
content.
Well,
that was the thing when they put the disclaimer up. Oh, look, it doesn't say anything about nudity or sexual contact
or even graphic violence.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, we should be good. I mean, yeah, those two people got burned alive, but he was playing with a truck and didn't notice. But later on, when Robert Baratheon's bastard there kills the two guys on the beach by clubbing them to death in the head.
With the giant hammer
club thing he built. Well, the first strike, when he hits the guy in the back of the head with the helmet, I don't know. I don't think Wesley saw. He didn't say anything. He's 2.5, by the way. But the second strike, when the guy gets full on hit right in the crushed in the face, Wesley said, he goes, uh-oh, and points at the TV. And then they show the close-up of his face all bashed, and he goes, dad, boo-boo, because he's learning about what boo-boo saw. So we're kind of laughing, and my wife is vainly trying to cover his face, and I'm like, "This, it's passed." It was just hilarious. Uh-oh! Because it took, like, what's supposed to be, like, a really tense, kind of, like, violent scene, and it just laughed hysterically, really. So what did you like about this week's episode?
Well, I liked – here's where I'm going to sound like the asshole, but I liked the stuff that other people probably weren't going to like. You know, everyone, the memes started going up immediately, taking the faces of the different people like the Hound and the commander of the Wildlings, Jon Snow, and putting them on the Avengers from that famous Avengers pose.
Yes.
Where around. They're like, that moment when all your favorite characters are going to team up. And I'm like, guys, we didn't need this. This is literally just fan service.
Yes.
You know, let's get all these characters, these rough and tumble men and these grisly giants, and let's put them all together on a quest to go up. And what are they going to do? They're going to, what, grab one stray White Walker and then tie him up and bring him down to Daenerys and Cersei to say, hey, look, guys, they're really real. What is their end game here? Like, I know they want to prove this, but why not take a dragon, fly overhead, and grab one and take it back that way.
Yeah.
But instead,
seems logical.
Instead, they've got, like, the Fellowship of the Ring walking out across the tundra to collect one of them.
Yeah.
They're marching as an army. You know, the White Walkers are in an army formation.
One of the things I read, a fan theory, was that Jorah is going to end up being the White Walker that they bring back. because when they're trying to get one, he's going to get turned.
After he just got all that stuff peeled off his skin?
Because everything bad happens to him.
It's true.
You know, he has to overcome something that happens to him. Khaleesi sends him away. He comes back. She lets him stay. Something happens. She sends him away. He comes back. She lets him stay.
He had that whole thing where the Weeping Angels sent him back in time on Doctor Who.
It's Doctor Who.
I know, but still, the guy can't catch character. A break. Look, if Sean Bean can have credit for being killed off in everything that he's in, then...
But anyhow, so that was one of the fan theories I read, that he'll be end up being the White Walker they bring back.
Gotcha. But mostly, I liked the building of the characters. I liked seeing that there's this divide now between Tyrion and Daenerys, you know, because he's like, he's trying to do the traditional thing, which right. is, you know, oh, let's throw them in jail. And she has a good point. She's like, if people think that's an option, they're all going to opt to go into jail. And correct. Then what are we going to do? Fill the jails, feed them all?
She's no. Right.
She's like, they either bend the knee or they die.
And now Sam doesn't have a dad or a brother.
Which, until this point, I had completely forgotten that they were related to him at all.
Yeah.
But I liked seeing that, too. I liked seeing Sam. You know, he had left the service of the Wall and the Knights.
Become a maester.
Yeah, because he was like, I want to serve. And then he got down there and realized that, A, it's bullshit.
Yes.
B, it was kind of like my foray into state government.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen it as well.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, watching these guys sit around, and they're like, yeah, but, you know, we don't really have any proof. So
it's like, yeah, well, they get the scroll from the Raven that basically says, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And
when start looking stuff up for us.
Yeah. And when Sam's like, no, this is real. We need to take care of this. We need to do this because I've seen them myself. This is real.
Yeah.
And they're like, go back to transcribing old scrolls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, you know what? Fuck these people. I'm done.
Which was great because, yeah. You know, he's always been like the cowardly character and the yeah. one that like tucks tail and stuff like that. So it was nice to see that they let this character say, you know what? And he didn't like piss on them. He didn't like jump up on the table and take a dump. You know, he just like gathered up Gilly and the baby and said,
grab some books.
Yep. And said, and you know what? We're getting out of here.
Yep.
We can be better serving the realm and Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
They're going to, I feel like they're heading to the Wall.
I think that they are.
I wonder if he's going to stop and drop Gilly and the baby off with his mom, not know, and then that's when he's going to find out his dad and brother are dead.
Very well be.
Because if that's the case, he's the new lord of the castle.
Yeah. And that could be a little stumbling block too, because then that kid isn't really his.
Nope.
So he'd have to get Gilly pregnant with a kid that could then carry on the bloodline. You know, that's a lot of pressure on him now to carry on his bloodline.
Well, maybe. I mean, they did have the sex that one time. Maybe she's pregnant. We don't know. I mean, time passes either exceptionally fast or exceptionally slow on the show.
It's ever since HBO took over and they yeah. stopped going by George R. R. Martin's stuff.
Yeah.
In this episode, we see Jon Snow say, yeah, we're gonna head back up north. And they get in a boat. We watch them push it out. And then suddenly they're back at the Wall.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and they didn't even stop off at Winterfell.
No.
They sailed no. past it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, do. A 3-hour tour.
Hey, speaking of being pregnant, Cersei's pregnant with Jaime's baby.
And he's excited.
Yeah. Oh. And she's excited. And you know, she's at the point now where I think where she's just, she doesn't give two shits if anyone knows.
No, she really doesn't.
No, she doesn't care if anyone knows.
She's the queen, and yeah. she feels she's untouchable because no. of that. But
yeah, she definitely feels untouchable.
Yeah. I enjoyed seeing Tyrion and Jaime talking. You know, basically Tyrion saying, oh, you outsmarted me. And Jaime's like, well, I want to kill you, but I can't because you're still my brother. And
I for one, I'm a very big fan of Bronn.
Uh-huh.
I loved the interactions with Bronn and Jaime. Like, you know what I mean? Like, basically, Bronn's like, yeah, I'm your friend. That's why I saved your life. You owe me some money. You yeah. owe me things you promised
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no dragon gets to kill you yeah. until I get paid. Yeah,
but you know, you're still my friend or whatever. And then she goes, I have to go tell Cersei, you're better off jumping back in the lake.
Yeah.
Or then later on where he goes, that's just one dragon. If she brings all three of those to, you know, to
King's Landing.
King's Landing. He's like, you're fucked. Don't you mean we're fucked? No, no. Our friendship ends at dragons.
Which was contradictory because he had just saved him from a dragon.
But yeah,
he wants to get paid. He's got like a hierarchy. He's like, my pay, my castle, my life.
Yeah, I enjoy Bronn.
Yeah.
I enjoy him as a character.
Yep.
I find him to be hilarious.
We've only got a couple episodes left. We're recording this Saturday night now. I know we keep shaking things up. So tomorrow night will be a new episode.
It's work schedules.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Basically.
Yep. Like, I haven't watched any Dark Matter. Allegedly it was on last week, but
we still can't prove it.
I can't. I went online to Wikipedia and it said, oh yeah, it was on. This was the episode. And then I go to the Sci-Fi Channel app and it's like, nope, it wasn't on.
It's still not on demand that I found it.
Yeah. And did you see, I haven't even looked to see if there's last night's episode is up there yet.
I haven't looked either. It would have been on my DVR and I don't remember seeing it. So. Interesting.
Arya spying on Littlefinger.
Yeah.
And then Littlefinger spying on her.
Yeah. He like left her a note.
Yeah. Well, someone fetched a scroll for him, and he's like, is this the only copy? Yes, he went and hid it in his room.
Hid it in his room. That was air quotes, people.
When Arya found it, it was like a message from Sansa to her, or it was just a message from Sansa, basically, to somebody. And we're led to believe that that was the scroll, and I don't think that was the scroll.
No.
I think that was a plant, or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know. Because then she, like, sneaks out of his room, and we get the shot of him standing up in the corner, sinisterly looking down.
Like
the
light's only on his eyes.
Yeah, he's like, no, like, ha ha, she fell for my devious trap. She needs to just kill him.
Yeah, I think so. Isn't he on the list?
He is.
I'm pretty sure he's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of talking in this episode, basically.
There was. That's why there wasn't any gratuitous violence or nudity or sex.
But I like it.
Yep.
I like it a lot.
Like I said, I think Daenerys made some good points that basically if you give them an option of prison, then they're going to go to prison.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's...
Of course. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, we see that today where our prisons are overcrowded with everything because it's an option, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The big scene, though, we get is when Khaleesi lands the dragon... Right in front of Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he breathes, and Jon Snow takes his hand off, his glove out of his hand out of his glove, and he touches the dragon and it kind of crusts his face and it calms right down. And it's because he's got some, you know, Targaryen blood in him.
Yeah. Oh, and the look on her face.
She was like,
It was like, at first she was a little concerned, and then it was like a total, like, sploosh moment. Like, she was like, oh, this is so hot. This is so hot. Like,
incidentally, when John says sploosh moment, when John says sploosh moment, he meant that she got moist in her nether regions. And he described that by taking both hands and waving them downwards and down in open motion.
Sploosh.
Like if you were to put your hands up and do it, you'd be like opening the doors.
Yep.
Downward.
If any of you out there watch Archer, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
There we go. That's what I should have said.
As Ray said in one episode, and I guess whatever the male equivalent of sploosh is, which I guess is still sploosh.
I watched Hootin' and the Lady.
As did I.
Alex jets off to Moscow to help Hootin' search for a lost Fabergé egg.
This was interesting because, like, it was a very cold open on some guy. I was like, is this Hootin' in disguise? Because it was like a guy with like a lot of facial hair and like almost looked like he was wearing a disguise. And, nope, he's Hercules. No, yeah, he's Hercules, and Hooten's real name, we learned a couple episodes back, is Ulysses.
Right.
So it was weird hearing them call each other Hercules and Ulysses.
And essentially what it is this guy had something to do with helping out Hooten or whatever. He knew about him personally, which it's alluded that Hooten had a wife and child that was killed by somebody.
Or at least two people who were very special.
Yes, that was killed by somebody.
Could have been parents.
Could have been. I was, for some reason, I'm thinking wife and child. That's where my brain went.
Because he did say, you know, those that you love the most are taken from you.
Yeah. But anyhow, so this person who killed him is now looking for this Fabergé egg, and so he calls Alex, who's, of course, in the middle of, you know, picking out cake or some crap thing.
Didn't the guy allude, though, that the person who killed those people is now dead?
He did, but then we saw, like, a sinister hand of someone walking in. So
it was Dr. Claw, basically.
Yeah. So basically, it's assumed that person is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, long and the short of it, she heads off to help him.
Because he promises her that this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Right. Hooten gets captured again. She rescues him, of course. Hooten's friend is killed.
In the same manner
yes.
that the other people were killed, which is yes. death by scorpion sting.
Yeah. You know, so... But Hooten and the lady, they find the girl that has the egg. They get the egg.
Who was the maid?
Who was the maid the whole time, yeah. The maid at the hotel. The lady is so excited to have this Fabergé egg.
But she's been the doubting one the whole time.
She has until she saw it.
Yep. Because she kept saying, it's plastic, it can't be real, because there were only 50 eggs, there's not a 51st egg, and blah, blah, blah.
I went online and looked it up. There was more than 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like 64 or something like that.
Shame on the show creators for not doing some simple
research.
And then
he made some other eggs for like these other people. These 50 or whatever, like these 64 were the imperial eggs.
And you got that from a simple Google search. Come on, writers of Hooten and the Lady. What's up with that?
It took some creative license, John. Creative license. So anyways, of course, because they can never bring back anything they find, Hooten throws it in the lake.
Yep.
Because he says it's cursed. The person who's looking for it will never stop. He'll kill you. He'll kill your family. He'll kill everybody. And it's cursed and you don't want this. And then...
So instead of an ocean, he throws it into a lake.
A lake, yeah. Because they're by the lake.
Yeah.
I mean, if their water source that they knew about had been a puddle, I mean, well, maybe he would have done that. It would have been easier to find.
Yeah.
But Alex calls back to, or she gets a phone call, whatever it is, basically her boss. And her mom has gone to her boss to be like, you need to put her, you need to desk her.
Yeah.
You need to park her and not let her go. He basically, that's what he tries to do. And she's just basically like, fuck off.
Yep.
And
the female lady there that works with her, she's like, yeah, how do you think that went?
And Alex goes back to the lake and basically dives till she finds it.
Yep.
And then...
This is where it was weird.
Okay, so she's looking in the rearview mirror. When she gets in the car, she's like the big eyes.
Yeah.
Like she sees something. And then we cut to the rearview mirror point of view, and it's kind of her looking at herself.
Yeah.
And nobody popped up from the back or anything.
And there was something else in this episode. We got to meet, like, her nemesis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, another well-to-do lady who – this part really bothered me, okay? So there's this woman who's, you know, the femme fatale because apparently all women who work in the archaeological field are just drop-dead gorgeous.
I didn't think this woman was gorgeous at all. Yeah, she had tight leather pants on.
You and I have very different
opinions. I know we do, but I tried. I looked at her face. I'm like, no.
No, nope. That's fine. But anyway, so she had a fit body – and well-groomed hair, face, that kind of stuff. Sure. We can agree on that. But at one point, like, they sneak into what can only be described as a wedding for the general's daughter. Like, some big military guy in Russia, his daughter's getting married.
Yeah, they crash the wedding.
Yeah, they crash the wedding. And in the middle of it, this femme fatale comes in and is firing a handheld crossbow that she pulls out of her purse.
Right out of her purse, yeah.
And everybody in there, including what you can only assume are several people of the military, all hit the floor and go, ah! And she gets to just walk around and fire off like three or four darts.
Yeah. Slowly reloading and talking shit about Alex the whole time and how she took her job or,
you took my job! And thank you, South Park.
Yeah. And, so that was kind of like,
Yeah, I'm looking around. I'm like, wait. This is a military wedding. There's security here. That's how they had to sneak in because of the security. And yet nobody was like, get that woman. She's got a crossbow. I mean, later you see her taken away in cuffs. But come on.
That was only after the police showed up.
Yeah, exactly. So who was minding the kennel at that point? But... The reason that I thought that it was weird is because, you know, we have all this stuff, and then the episode just ends. It never says to be continued.
Yeah.
But there's no resolution.
I think the assumption is that it's going to be a two-parter.
Because there was a helicopter flying overhead. You, like, saw the helicopter shining the light down on the lake, And yeah. It goes past her, and then she comes up, and she's like, oh, I got the egg. And she goes and sits in the vehicle. And then you see the helicopter, like, going overhead again, and it's going towards Hooten.
And it kind of circles up around him and kind of spotlights him a little bit and then keeps on going.
Yeah, it, like, leaves, and then the episode just ends. Like, literally just done. So that was a little bit odd.
Yeah, it wasn't a very exciting ending.
No.
So Preacher was okay.
Yep. That was, it had some good moments.
Well, okay. The opening sequence, there's a group of guerrilla operatives are closing in on Dennis's house to take them all out, basically, yep. And get the box.
But they're prepared.
Yeah, they got earphones or whatever, on noise-canceling earphones so that they can't hear him.
They can't hear Jesse. And they got night vision goggles.
Yep, night vision goggles.
So cut the power.
And so they burst in, and the first person you see, whatever, like they killed Dennis.
Yep, because he's laying in bed.
And so they shot him. And initially, I thought, that's too bad. I guess, like,
yeah,
that's how he's gonna end. That's how he's gonna end.
I mean, granted, he was dying anyway, but
still,
yeah.
And then he comes back later because apparently Cassidy bit him, made him a vampire, so he starts eating people.
Yeah,
and
viciously,
he becomes. In my point of view, a very despised character. He annoys the piss out of me. It's so bad. Just from simply him talking to Cassidy to later on when he's playing his loud French music and dancing around.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... And, yeah.
I liked a lot of the opening sequence. The way that they set it up. You know, the camera work was good. They did a lot making it look like a first-person shooter game. And they also cut out all the sound so that it was like you were listening through their
exactly. Even when they bust in the house.
Yep. And every now and then you'd hear a microphone because they had their earpieces, but they were being very quiet about it.
Yep.
So I really enjoyed that. And watching like bodies fly out of another room, and you know, it was good.
You definitely got that one soldier's point of view.
Yes.
But Jesse eventually gets the earphones off and tells him to go kill his friends.
Yep.
Which he does.
Yep. But then Jesse gets a little paranoid.
Well, he calls the local police and basically uses his voice to tell them that they all work for him and that they're going to stick around there. And
told Tulip to take a nap.
Exactly, yeah. Because he hadn't slept in days and on and on and on. And then nothing happens.
For like a week.
Yeah. That's what he implies. They only have the money for 7 days.
Yeah. But like Jesse's constantly looking out the window and like watching the streets, and he's got the cops of the town like surrounding him constantly.
Make him check in like every 15 minutes. And
yep.
Yeah. And that part was kind of that part was very unsatisfying. That whole paranoid, we're going to bunker down, Dennis being wicked, fucking obnoxious, annoying.
Yep. You know what else was kind of unsatisfying? The fact that Herr Starr there.
Yeah.
Was very upset and like came into his two subordinates and was like, I want to live out a rape fantasy. Find a professional. And they're like, okay. And they were like, yes, we'll do that. And I know you do what your boss tells you.
Well, initially she says, oh, I'll go find a short skirt and da 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 da. And he's like, no, not with you.
Yeah.
Professional. Oh, okay, we'll get on that.
And then they hire like five guys.
Yeah, three guys come in and kind of. Go to town on him. And first he's like, no, this isn't happening. And then when they basically force him themselves on him, he just kind of takes it.
Yeah.
Reads a file.
He reads a file and is like, oh, now I've figured things out.
I have perspective.
And then they talk about how they're going to unleash, what was it, like Dave or something?
Brad. Which was like a ballistic something, radio access, drone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they didn't tell us, you know, we're going to release Brad. Oh, Brad is going to take care of this. Brad. And so, like, you get one scene where one of the cops is sitting out in his car, like, checking in, and there's this big, behemoth,
weird
fat guy.
Oh, like, no, but I thought it was going to be the cleaner at first.
Oh.
The cleaner came in, and he was acting all weird and odd, and so I thought, oh, that's him. And then, like you said, they had that big hulking guy with the clown mask on.
Yep.
He picks a fight with the cops. And I thought, oh, he's the distraction for Brad. And he kind of was, but he wasn't.
Yeah. It really, like, I think that what they were trying to do was make us feel what Jesse was feeling with the paranoia. Like, oh, is this Brad? Is this Brad? But you're right. Brad was just a drone missile.
And then they launched him. And Herr Starr's like, nope, cancel it. And all they can do is they can't cancel it. All they can do is redirect the flight path, and they crash it at Harry Connick Jr.'s house.
Which
Where did you
great.
Send it? Harry Connick Jr.'s house? Good choice.
Yes. Yep.
I thought that was hilarious.
So, yeah, after this week, I really want them to get back to doing something.
Good episodes?
Back on the road. Jesus, get back on the road. Leave Dennis there. Just leave him to run amok in New Orleans. Let him have some fun, but just get out of New Orleans, yep. Get back on the road, get back to looking for God.
I agree with that.
Ah, damn.
So on Blood Drive,
yes,
we left off the previous episode. Arthur disappeared. We find out this episode he'd walked off and he ended up at this town named Cronenberg.
Cronenberg!
And essentially there's this thing called the Scar, which is like an opening in the earth, and there's this gas that's leaking out of it, and it basically alters your mental state.
Yep.
It doesn't let you see how all the people there hideously kind of rotted away.
That look like Cronenberg's.
Yeah, instead to them they look normal. It doesn't, you know, it basically masks them to everything there, and it's alluded that the longer you're there, the more it affects you.
Yeah.
Or the easier it affects you.
And it's also alluded that that whatever is producing this gas from the Scar is alive and needs bodies to eat, because every year or so they have a ceremony where they dump a body in there and it gets slowly digested.
Yeah, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. So Arthur, of course, has been gassed because he's been there the longest and he's been fooled. And, you know, Grace, of course, has clarity.
She gets gassed at first, but then she gets clarity.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, Arthur, he ends up with this girl.
Because he's going to be the new town cobbler.
He's going to be the new town cobbler because the old one's going to be killing himself. Sacrificing himself to the beast or the whatever.
Yep.
And
because that's what a good life does. When you have a good life, you give of your own life so that everybody else can be happy. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. That is.
Yeah.
And then of course we find Aki's still got some sort of programming. She can't only go so far away before she starts vomiting a rainbow, apparently.
like first it's blue, then it's red, then it's green, then it's blue, then it's red.
And then she even has the gray line, kiss my rainbow.
Oh, it was great. She like sends Christopher on. She's like, I'm going to stay here, but kiss my rainbow. And she's got like rainbow colored puke all over her lips. And he
kisses her. That's love right there.
That is love right there.
What's love got to do with it?
Slink was pretty good in this one.
Yeah, Slink shows up to save the day.
Yep, because he wasn't having none of this. He was like, basically, he's still fighting. They found a loophole in his contract, so they said that they're going to fire him because, you know, people want to see more of Grace and Barbie there. And
he's like,
they've gone missing.
Right.
So he's like, I'm going to go find him. And I mean, he shows up in Cronenberg with a full gas mask on and like weapons, and he's ready. He's like, no, I'm going to take care of this.
He's blasting the town with that gas.
Yep.
Because he's like somehow managed to suck it up through.
Then he starts sealing in the crack with the largest cement mixer I've ever seen that was already preloaded with enough cement to fill in that entire crack under the church.
Yeah, that truck just seemed to keep going and going and going and going.
And when he first rolled up on that scene, the tumbler was not spinning.
Nope, it was not, which means it's pretty much solid inside if the tumbler's not spinning.
Yep. But it was still a solid episode.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. For those who don't know, Cronenberg is considered to be one of the original masters of horror, not for things like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street, but for the gross stuff, like he did The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, Eraserhead, Naked Lunch, all the really, like, deformed, gross, humanoid-type monsters are from the minds of Cronenberg. So his name kind of becomes, I was telling Mike that they did an episode of Rick and Morty where they ended up altering the DNA of every living thing that didn't have DNA from Morty's family. And they all turned into disgusting mutated creatures that they called Cronenbergs. Now they call that universe the Cronenberg universe. So, yeah.
Fair enough. What else did you watch this week, John?
The Guest Book.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch that episode?
I did. We got another Raising Hope alumni.
Yes.
Presley in this week.
Yep.
Essentially, her and her new boyfriend head up to the cabin with his 8-year-old or 9-year-old daughter so they can get to know each other.
That's
Guess what? Doesn't go well.
That's right, because shocking she has a past as a porn star.
Yeah, incidentally, when they just glaze over that, she just does a quick rundown of how she got into it, what she used to do. It was hilarious.
It really was.
It was absolutely hilarious.
And the fact that she decided to get out because she'd become a MILF.
Yes.
She found herself on set one day, and there was, like, the younger girl and the younger guy, and they were getting ready, and she's standing there with an apron and realized, oh, my God, I'm a MILF.
Yep.
I would have thought that at this point in my life I'd actually have kids and a family and be a real MILF, but no. So she runs away and meets this guy who his wife is dead.
Yeah.
But apparently it wasn't a great marriage, so you kind of wonder if, like, because he's a little too nice, so maybe he snapped.
Well, maybe he just looked at, holy crap, I got this girl.
Yeah.
Got to mellow down.
Yeah. So he basically, like, he's the normal, golly gosh, you know, I got braces as an adult, and jeepers creepers, my daughter would just love to play this board game with you, so.
Yeah, he's a black fellow, is he not?
He is, yes.
Carol reminds me of on the Chappelle show, Dave Chappelle talking to Wayne Brady, and the guy going in the little dream sequence saying that Wayne Brady makes Brian Gumbel look black.
Yes.
And all I can think of is this guy is Brian Gumbel, like, yep, that time.
But basically, when Jamie Presley's character was a porn star, she did a lot of drugs.
Lots of drugs.
And she's kicked the habit, but she still has to, like, go back a little bit. So she's nervous about being up there with the daughter, so she buys some pot brownies.
So the first person that she runs into in the porn flashback that she's going to have sex with is John Morrison, wrestler John Morrison. And she goes, "Don't finish on my face." And he goes, "It'll go where it goes." And then later on, she's
such a great line.
And then later on, she goes, "If you finish on my face, I swear to God, I'm going to rip your throat out." You know, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm just the props guy. The cast is over there." And he puts, like, an apron over her head. That's when she realizes, yep, she's the MILF. But I just, yeah, it goes where it goes.
So she starts eating just a little bit of a pot brownie because that's what you're supposed to do. You're just supposed to eat a little bit. And then the daughter comes over and she's like, "Oh, my God, I love brownies. I want brownies." And dad's like, "Oh, well, you could give her a brownie. She loves brownies." And Jamie Presley's like, "It's almost dinner time." He's like, "Oh, it's okay. We'll let her have some." So she just stuffs both brownies in her face. And she's like, "I don't like to share." So now she's just tripping balls. And some hilarity ensues.
When little kids do drugs, it's always funny, John.
Yeah. I like how the guest book keeps moving, and the reason that people are writing in it, it's not just that, you know, at the end of their trip, they're like, "Oh, I feel like writing in the..." Like, the last time, she was writing in it because, you know, the husband and the boss and that woman who called her up out of nowhere and wanted money because she was trying to get out of her four-way marriage. So she's like, "I'm hiding this guest book so that nobody finds it." And the cubby that she hides it in is where Jamie Presley goes to hide during hide and seek.
Yeah, so she sees it, so then she starts writing in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a good show.
It is. It's funny.
It's funny.
It's short, 20 minutes long. You know, it's great.
Yep. They all lead into the next one.
That's one thing I like. And I like the little explanations at the beginning.
Yes.
Like, there's these two guys, like, on their coffee break at the vending machine at work. And he's like, "Oh, the guest book is back tonight. But don't forget." And he recaps, like, "We have locals that live in town. And this is who they are. And this one's doing this. And this one's doing that. And this one's going to the titty bar." And blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. I like it. And the guy goes, "I don't know. It just seems like it takes way too... It's way too complicated to get involved. You had to... took way too long to explain that. It was 15 seconds. If you have 15 seconds, then you'll understand what it's about."
I had flashbacks when I saw that of the old days when I used to do that with you. I'd be like, "Dude, there's this show on, and we really got to watch it, and blah, blah, blah. It's great, and it's this." And you'd just be like, "I don't have time for other shows." "I just caught you up. You're all set. Just start watching the show." "Nope, don't have time for any of the shows." Damn it. I felt like I was that guy.
Awesome.
But yeah, I really enjoy it. It's a good, fun show every week. It really is some good storytelling, the way that they tie everything in together.
Yes, I like that.
Other than that, I've just got one other show. And
what's that?
That's the one that we're going to talk about at the very end.
Oh, okay.
Do you have any other shows?
No, actually, let me run through my list here. I watched a little documentary that I thought was interesting, but I think I'll talk about that next week.
Okay, fair enough.
It's a short 45-minute documentary on Netflix.
Okay.
I got a little bit of news I want to discuss.
Go for it, because I got a little news as well.
Yeah. We're going to finish up this week, by the way, everybody. We're going to talk about The Defenders, because we've both watched all 8 episodes.
Yep.
So we're going to get everything set aside and then be like, all right, it's now Defender talk time. So if you want to hear spoilers, here they are. If you don't want to hear spoilers, listen to this after you've watched it.
Right, exactly. We're going to be nice to everybody, because it is only a day old. Like, yeah. It literally came out yesterday morning.
So my first bit of news I have is X-Files last week announced that Annabeth Gish would be returning as Monica Reyes.
Pretty cool.
Pretty awesome. And now this week they've announced that Robbie Amell and Lauren Ambrose are returning as agents Kid Miller and Liz Einstein. he announced that of the 10 episodes that we're getting this season.
10?
We're getting 10 episodes this season.
Whoa, that's this many.
That's... John was holding up 2 hands in his foot, so we're going to have to explain to him how much 10
is. Baker's really. Dozen.
last season, we got 6 episodes. We got 3 mythology episodes and 3 standalones. And it was fans pretty much said they enjoyed the standalones more than the mythology ones. Because at this point with the mythology, it's been so long between seasons, and they're recognizing that on the show that it's been so long that it's almost like the mythology part of all has kind of lost its luster.
Yep.
However, the standalone episodes are amazing, and the Where Human episode...
Literally the best thing ever.
...was the best episode of that season, and it's probably, like, one of the best X-Files episodes.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot, because I recognize that you still have to go back to some of the early ones, like Home.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that you can really compare them.
There is some great episodes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's Jose Chung's It Came From Outer Space.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, that is an awesome episode. Absolutely
yep.
awesome.
Yep.
So anyhow, Chris Carter announced this week, or last week, whatever it was, that of these 10 episodes, 2 of them will be mythology-based. The other 8 are all standalone.
No.
So it's almost like they went, all right, we see what people like.
So basically, the first one will probably be one of the mythology.
First and the last ones, I bet, would be mythology-based, and then the middle.
Because they got to wrap up that friggin' cliffhanger that they left us on.
Dumbass finale, yes.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
Another bit of news is Super Troopers 2's got a release date, April 20th, 420, for those who like to giggle about things like that.
I'll be honest. I am so... skeptical about this movie.
Because it's been 3 years in the making already?
The movie's been 3 years in the making. It's been, what? The first one came out like 2002?
Or 3, something like that, yeah.
And since Super Troopers came out, which was great.
It was fantastic. It's so quotable. It's a great movie, yeah.
It's, you can stand in a crowded room, or yeah. a not crowded room, and say something like, you know, Farva's number one, and people will be like, ah! No, I'm going to pistol whip the next person that says shenanigans.
All highway.
Yes.
Dude, the other day, I took a call from Augusta. Sorry, this is work-related. I took an hour-long call from the shenanigans bar in Augusta.
Oh, no.
Because the guy was reporting a disturbance, and I connected to the city of Augusta police. I go, you know, state police of Augusta, connected to a caller on Water Street in Augusta at shenanigans, reporting some shenanigans going on. Sir, go ahead. The guy goes, yeah, these guys are down here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, like I'm high-fiving myself.
Nice.
At shenanigans, reporting some shenanigans. It's the little things.
But yeah, since Super Troopers,
yeah.
none of their movies have been good. They haven't been shit, but like Club Dread.
I liked Club Dread.
It was okay at best.
Yeah, I liked Club Dread. There was parts I really liked about it.
I felt like with Club Dread, they really went for the star factor. Like, they kept bringing in all those actors and actresses that were names at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just kind of went a little bit over the top. Farva having the mystical abilities to, like,
yeah,
contort his body and stuff. And then Beerfest was yeah. just garbage. I've still never watched the Slammin' Salmon.
I didn't care for that at all.
I got that impression, and I was like, I just don't even
I feel it. Like if they're going back home to the one that started it all, to the one that actually people like the most,
yep.
I mean, I feel like I want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I do, too.
They
really
did a great
do.
Job on the first one, and so either this one is going to be way over the top,
or they're going to rehash all the same shit from the first one because they got a
lot. That's what I'm worried about.
Around. Yeah.
You know, I'm worried that they're going to try to just repeat the same jokes. They're going to play repeater,
yeah.
Basically.
Right, yeah. You know, like littering and littering and littering and smoking the reefer. Yep. Oh, man. Oh, yes. You know, like.
How many tickets did you write today? I'll have to check my pad, but a zero. Sounds about right.
I still love that part where he goes, if one more of you says shenanigans, I'll pistol whip you to death, I swear to God. Hey, Farmer, what's the name of that bar you like all the crazy shit? Oh, shenanigans? Yeah, I just...
Give me six schlitzes. We don't have schlitz, sir.
Yeah.
Whatever's free.
We don't have a leader, Cole.
So I had a couple of news items, two of them involving the same actor.
Okay.
That would be David Tennant, because David Tennant's awesome.
I have a news note about him as well.
Well, let's see if it matches up.
Okay.
David Tennant posed for a picture with Jessica Jones, you know, Kristen Ritter.
That's my note.
On the set of Jessica Jones season two, and he was fully dressed up. And we can only assume that this will be like flashbacks or like the demon in his head. Like he'll be haunting her essentially. Because come on, it spoiler alert, people, he died at the end of Jessica Jones season
one. I feel like it's going to be a flashback type
like,
of thing.
Like she held him up and snapped his neck.
Oh, yeah. He's dead.
He did.
He's dead, dead, dead.
But I'm thinking that it's going to be like that voice in her head or like, you know, he'll appear and he'll be like taunting her and nobody else can see him because it's just her inner demons.
Now, is this going to be taking place after the events of the Defenders probably?
Yes.
I hope so.
Yeah, because they're trying to keep him in chronological order.
Okay.
So.
Makes sense.
The other one, and I feel like this is a hit on my geek card. I have never read the book Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman. It's supposedly classic fantasy. It's supposedly awesome, but it's basically talking about the end of the world coming, and there's an angel and a demon that are both bored and want to do something about it.
Okay.
They're adapting it. I believe it's a TV series. It's going to be like six episodes. Okay. And David Tennant is going to be playing the demon Crowley. And,
interesting.
Yeah. Michael Sheen, and I looked him up, and I didn't recognize a lot of what he's been in, but he'll be playing the angel.
I know that name.
It's one of those you look at the face, you look at the name, and you're like, I know him, but nothing really jumps out. I want to go back and read the book or maybe get the Audible and listen to it because I've heard nothing but good about it. My ex started reading it about 17 times and never got through it because she wanted people to think she was cool. And, you know, so she would start reading it and then.
She's read it.
I'm sure she has. Yep. But Terry Pratchett, awesome.
Yep.
Neil Gaiman has some hits and misses.
Yep.
But yeah.
Should be worth checking out.
Yep. Kirk Acevedo, you know the name.
Yes.
He's going to be joining Arrow Season 2, or Arrow Season 6, as a villain from the comics. Basically a drug lord kind of person. But I like him as an actor.
Nice.
I think he's done good work. And the only other news that I have is that, big surprise, Ozark has been renewed for a second season!
I still haven't watched that yet. I still plan on watching it. I haven't.
It's so good. It's really riveting.
The only other bit I had was that, and I don't want to get into great detail about it, but I just saw it reported that a stunt woman passed away, died in a motorcycle crash from the Deadpool 2 set.
Yeah.
And not to sound cold, but I really hope it doesn't delay the movie
for it has.
Awful long. Like,
it's not.
I understand they got to shut down. I'm sure there's going to be a process, but like, you know, it's just the other thing. I'm like, I wonder if they're going to start now with all the. Oh, we have to ban this and stop this and on and on and on.
Nope, you know, I have not seen anything about that. It comes with the territory, you know. Literally, people who are stunt workers, you know, they throw themselves out of windows, they throw themselves off buildings, they punch each other, kick each other. They know the risk when they go into it. It is tragic, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it comes with the territory. It's like the guy who tests the bulletproof vest by standing there when somebody shoots at them. that's a job.
You think
right?
They could? I feel like they prop them up on like a dummy or something.
Oh, the guy? Why would he be propped up on a dummy? Why wouldn't you put him against a wall?
A bulletproof vest.
Oh.
And then that's how they test it out to see if it works.
Gotcha. Boy, that'd be a lot safer. But then you're taking jobs from hardworking Americans.
Yeah, who want to know what it feels like to get shot with a bulletproof vest?
Right. Tulip's been doing it on Preacher.
She's been winning money doing it.
That's right.
You have any other news-based stuff?
I don't, do you?
I don't.
All right, I think we've come to the point, people, where we're going to start talking Defenders.
Yes, so if you don't want to hear about Defenders, and we get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then just take this moment to sign off this week.
Yep, and we'll be back next week to talk about other stuff. You'll want to hear about Defenders then. But yeah, take yourself a moment. Walk away. All right, if you're still here, are you still here? Cool. All right. So, Mike, let's talk Defenders.
Okay. Spoiler full Defenders discussion. Frank Castle's not in it.
Yeah.
I waited.
Big dick move.
I waited Netflix. All 8 episodes. I figured we probably won't see him to the end. So, like, the first 6, I was like, yeah, no big deal. 7, okay, he's going to be an 8. 8, oh, there's 15 minutes left in this. It's seeming like they're wrapping things up.
They told us there was going to be something to do with Punisher. Yeah.
Oh, the trailer at the end of the episode, after all the credits have rolled, and then we don't tell you to stick around. We're just going to think maybe they'll do it.
Like, literally, if you're watching this and you bring up the timer on your thing, you will see the final scene, and then you will see credits roll, and then you will see the Netflix logo and the ABC logo, you know, the production companies, and then it goes black.
Yep.
And then you look at your timer and you're like, there's 2 minutes left. What the hell? And then suddenly we get the trailer that's already all over the internet of The Punisher.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's basically, if you didn't binge watch these in the first 8 hours they are on, it's going to be up there.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
I binge watched them in the first few hours they were on.
I binge watched them today because my other plans fell through, and I'm perfectly happy with that because I needed some downtime. So
how do you want to do this? Do you want to break this down episode by episode? Do you just want to do a big glossy coverage of it?
I think we should start big glossy and go from there, because I think if we did episode by episode, we'd be jumping back and forth too much.
I think we should do big glossy and then maybe next week talk about it more.
Sure. Yeah, we could do that.
Because all the little Easter eggs are going to come out between now and then, type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually do have a brief synopsis of pretty much each episode.
Okay, go for it.
Except episode 5. Somehow it's not here. It says episode 5, and then there's nothing written there.
I remember watching episode
5. Yeah.
There was stuff.
So anyways, basically this is what I got. Episode 1, we get caught up on the cast. Danny's fighting Elektra at the beginning.
Yep.
We don't know it's her to the very end of the episode, but it is her. Cage is released from jail. Danny comes back to New York.
Because the dying guy says, your fight is in New York.
Yes, the guy that Iron Fist. Yeah. And then it ends with an apparent earthquake. Quotey fingers that sends the city into chaos. We see Sigourney Weaver, Alexandra.
I can't say her name properly since that Family Guy episode where they had the retirement home where everybody got a pause button on their so that they could ask questions, and they'd be like, why is everybody blue? It was Avatar. They're like, why is everybody blue? Is it cold there? And then one of the old guys presses it, and he goes, is that Sigourney Weaver? She shouldn't be smoking. She's a handsome woman. So literally every time I see her on the screen in Defenders, I'm like, is that Sigourney Weaver?
Nice.
Yep.
And we also learn that Alexandra's dying.
Yeah. That's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Episode 2.
Well, you forgot about Matt. What's Matt up to?
He's doing a pro bono case. And
for a lot of money.
And he wins his client $11 million.
And doesn't get a bit of it because he's doing a pro bono.
Well, I mean, technically with pro bono, he is supposed to get his expenses paid plus his percentage of it. But he's probably being, you know, self-sacrificing. Yeah, and being like, oh, no, I won't accept anything.
That's right.
But we learned that his relationships aren't that good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty bad at relationships. Foggy is off with his new law firm and really enjoying life up there.
As a matter of fact, it's Foggy that gets Luke Cage out of jail.
Yep. So. Yep. Because Hogarth. I will say that one thing right now as we're getting into this. They did a really good job of taking all the disparate things from the different episodes and weaving them together. You know, each series that we saw took place in the same city. But they all were doing their own thing. And they, you know, like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage crossed paths quite a bit.
Yep.
But for the most part, they all kind of were their own thing.
Claire's really the only one the only card that knew them all, met them all, knows all about them all.
But in this, they took all those parts and wove them together. Like the detective.
Yeah.
You know, Claire.
Yeah.
Basically,
everybody. Everybody, yeah, except the villains. Except the.
Yeah.
The only things that we didn't see were the villains from each episode brought in. Well, the Hand.
Yeah.
Because Daredevil did battle the Hand.
And that was definitely the focus here. Like, yes. We didn't see anything or hear anything about Wilson Fisk.
Yes.
We were. Nothing.
Because basically, Alexandra, we learned later in a later episode, is one of the five fingers of the Hand.
Which was a cool way to do it.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. And basically, these five fingers of the Hand, they were on Kunlun. And
just Kunlun.
Kunlun.
L-U-N.
Okay, Kunlun.
Kunlun.
They were there. Yep. That's what they called home. They loved being there, but they decided to use apparently dragon fossils to make a, what they kept calling, not elixir. They kept calling the.
Substance,
yeah. And it made them immortal.
Yep.
And
they thought that was their right. They were like, we want to be immortal.
And so they were kicked out of Kunlun.
Yep.
And they brought a lot of the substance with them that they could, and essentially they just kept giving it to themselves.
Yep.
Or giving to each other, whatever, or right. as time, you know. And throughout the show, Alexandra drops hints about being older than she is, or being
older than dirt.
Yeah, basically. But like, you know, being there when Beethoven and Mozart or whatever it was, like, had the piano show off in the episode.
Yep. My favorite one was when she was ordering, and the guy brought her the dish of food. She's like, "Tell your wife that she makes it better than they did in Constantinople." And he's like,
"You mean Istanbul?"
That Constantinople is the ancient name, and I just immediately went right to that "They Might Be Giants" song. You know, Istanbul, Constantinople.
So yeah, episode two. You know, all right. We see Stick with Alexandra.
Yep,
she captures him,
which is supposed to let you know that she's pretty powerful because we've all seen how much ass Stick can kick.
Right, right. We learn that Elektra. We learn for sure that Elektra is the assassin for Alexandra.
The black sky. Black that they hinted at in the second season of Daredevil.
And basically, well, that the third episode is when they really
dig into that.
Dig into that. Yeah. We also finally have some of the characters meeting up with each other.
Yep.
You know, Iron Fist and Luke Cage meet up, and then Jessica Jones gets arrested in Daredevil through Foggy. Or, yeah, I think it's too foggy. Ends up being Matthew Murdock, ends up being her lawyer.
Yep.
And so then we have...
Because Foggy gave him a bunch of cases and said, "Here, these are too much for me. I'm outsourcing them to you. Yep. Have a hand, buddy."
And so essentially we finally have, of the Defenders, because they did not meet up in the first episode, by the end of the second episode, two sets of two have met up. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer to building a thing.
The second episode was the fight between Luke and Danny, right? I laughed out loud several times during that fight because it was so funny watching Danny do his kung fu moves and they nothing. Just like nothing, like Mike Coulter didn't move.
Yeah.
I would love to see the outtakes on that because he's just standing there, like not even like bracing, just standing there. Danny's like, boo, 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 boo. Sometimes even like rapid fire, just bap, 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 bap. And then he's just, nah.
I liked it when he brought the Iron Fist out though and punched him in the face and messed him up.
Sent him right across into the door. But, I mean, like, Luke Cage kept grabbing him and throwing him, punching him, stepping on him, being like, "Stay down." And he's, like, kicking, not moving. It was a fun fight to watch.
It was a fun fight to watch. Absolutely agreed.
This series, along with the other series, they choreographed some great
There's some really great acting. The fight at the beginning with Elektra and Danny.
Yeah.
In the subway.
Yeah. You know,
it was a fantastic fight. So, a lot of great fights in this show.
Yes.
Episode 13.
Three.
Sorry, episode three. I don't know why I said that.
Baker's dozen.
No, I know what it is. Because in the first 13 half minutes of this, because I timed it out, we see the story of how Alexandra brought Elektra back from the dead, and then the training she underwent to become Black Sky.
So basically you're saying for the first 13 and a half minutes, I was bored to tears.
No, it's just like, I'm like, I wonder if this is going to be the whole episode. Nope, it's just going to be the first quarter of the episode type of thing. And then we see Stick cuts off his own hand to escape.
Yep.
I thought he'd just pop his elbow out, pull his hand, you know, but no, he starts fighting people, cuts his own hand off because they're about to kill him.
And, you know, what the hell? You know, or maybe, you know, if that sword is so sharp it could just cut through his bone like that, maybe it could cut through metal.
Or maybe, you know, just cut through the thumb.
Or maybe cut through metal.
Yeah.
You know, cut the handcuff off, perhaps.
At one of the weak links.
Right, right. The weakest link.
Goodbye.
So terrible. I like the part where Luke Cage is complaining about how his face hurts. What happened? Some guy with a glowing hand punched me. And she's like, oh, I know who that is. And she like dials the phone. And the next thing, the next scene is they've met up together.
Yep.
And this is the thing that befuddles me. Okay. All of these people are mutants, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, not all. But, okay, Luke Cage is. He's been altered.
He's an altered human. He's not a mutant.
Right, but Jessica Jones has been altered. They're altered, mutated.
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Mutants actually have it in their genetic code, and it activates usually around their 13th birthday when they hit puberty. Roll those eyes a little bit more at me.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I apologize for that. Anyways, so
any of you guys who are on the comic podcast and want to chime in here and let Mike know that he is wrong, that just because they have superpowers, they are not mutants.
It's semantics.
No, it is not. Do you think Superman is a mutant?
No, he's an alien.
Yeah, exactly. But he's got superpowers.
Because he's an alien.
Okay.
He was an Earthling.
Are the Fantastic Four mutants?
Who?
The Fantastic Four.
I'm sorry, who?
The Fan Four Stick.
I haven't seen the.
Oh, you disavowed them. Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I saw that. Anyways.
Spider-Man a mutant?
He's mutated.
He's an altered human.
He got bit by a radioactive spider.
Why didn't he go to Xavier Mansion? Because that's for mutants.
Because he didn't have to.
It's for mutants.
No, it's not for mutants. It's for gifted children.
Mutants.
Gifted students.
The mutants.
It says gifted on the door. Doesn't say mutants. It says gifted.
Yeah. It's branding. It's advertising. Anyway, moving on.
They're all, but you know what they all are? Inhuman.
Jesus. No, they're all human. God damn it. All right, so get to what's befuddling you, because this is befuddling me.
All right. So this is like a... Okay, so my son has one of those chunky puzzles out, and John is now all the characters decked out in front of him like he has an audience of Winnie the Pooh and Company.
But I'm also trying to stack them on each other.
That's true.
Rue is writing.
So through this whole series, like, okay, they've accepted the fact that Danny's the immortal Iron Fist, and his hand glows, and he can punch shit really hard.
Yep.
And that Luke can be, he's been altered, so bullets don't bother him, but his insides get bothered, but it's just the outside. And Jessica Jones has been...
His one weakness is Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah. Jessica Jones has been altered, so she's got super strength, but she can bleed, apparently.
Yep.
And then Daredevil is just a really well-trained blind guy. They can all accept that, but, like, what do you mean there's a hand? What do you mean there's, like, this magical place? No. Right. No. Like, what they're willing to believe and not willing to believe. Yeah, like...
The line's really in a weird place.
Yeah, it's a squiggly line. Yeah. It's not even straight. It's, like, looping all over the place. Like, what they will believe or won't believe, you know? Like...
Absolutely.
Like
and don't forget that this takes place in the same world where they've seen aliens come out of a hole in the sky.
Yes, exactly,
destroy their neighborhood.
Right.
It's not like that happened across the country.
But the fact that Danny lives up in the Himalayan mountains and he's protecting this secret, you know, land that, you know... No. You punch.
I just wanted Doctor Strange to show up and be like, actually.
Yeah, like, it's just, to me, it's hilarious of what people are willing to believe or not believe. You know? I just, and that's like the theme through the whole episode. Okay, so like I said, of course, Claire brings together. Stick shows up at Danny's dojo because he's looking for the Iron Fist.
Yep.
And,
because he recognizes, he's like, yo.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I got to get you on my side.
Yeah. The events of this episode lead all the players, the four defenders, if you will, to Midland Circle. And there is a pretty fantastic fight scene starting in the boardroom, into the hallways, and beyond, all the way to the height of this Chinese restaurant.
It reminded me of, like, season one Daredevil, that hallway fight scene. Not as good, but still.
I don't know if anything will ever top that season one Daredevil fight scene because it was one
single shot. Yeah.
It was one
take. I don't know how many times they had to do it, but it was one continuous take of him going in and out of those rooms and fighting everybody. And I love when he stops before he goes into the room and he pulls the mask up so the little kid will see his face and not be a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Oh, yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
Now, the fight here at Midland Circle, this is when Danny basically goes in and he's like, you know, addresses Danny, the board of his company and says, I know your role.
It's not his company. It's a shell corporation that used his company. Well, it's a company that used his company to launder money, basically, and whatever.
And he basically is just like, I know you're the hand. Nori Weaver is like, so what you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. She's like, well, I'm the immortal. He's like, I'm the immortal Iron Fist. I'm going to stop you. And he's like, and, you know, she's like, oh, well, all these people are here to take you anyways.
And she says, unlike every other immortal Iron Fist,
I'm not going to kill you. Yes, because they need something from him. They need his access for the substance.
Yes. And I thought one of the funniest parts of this that was downplayed so well was that both Jessica and Matt show up at the same time.
Yeah.
And Matt's like, look, this is too dangerous. He's like, I know what you can do, but this is too dangerous. You need to get out of here. And he takes her scarf, wraps it around his head so that his eyes are hidden, you know, so that he's still got his mask. And then does all these acrobatics and just runs up the stairs. Like, he's jumping over people and falling over people.
Yes.
He goes. And, like, it's really, you're like, yes, is he going to get there in time? And he gets up to the top part.
Ding!
And she walks out.
She just walks out and goes, that scarf looks stupid. And he goes, hey, it's your scarf.
She says, this scarf makes you look like an asshole.
Yeah, that's your scarf.
That was punctuated later on, a couple episodes later, when he actually has the Daredevil suit on. And she goes, the scarf looked better. Nice ears.
They're horns. But, I loved they get up there. They go, you know, Danny's already in the boardroom fighting, and then Luke Cage shows up. And they had been arguing earlier about, you know, and he's like, oh, now it's okay to punch things?
Yeah. It's complicated.
It's complicated. Yeah.
But they synced right up.
Yes.
Like, as soon as the guns came out, Danny got right behind Luke. You know, he's like, oh, you're my shield.
Yeah. And then, you know,
then we get Luke, Jessica?
Yeah.
How you been? Oh, it's been weird. Yeah,
who's that guy?
He's my lawyer.
He's my lawyer.
Who's that guy? That's Danny Rand, the billionaire?
Yeah. And then they all fight together.
Yes. And fight well.
Very well.
Except that, like, literally, they said, we've got to stay together and we'll survive. And then the first thing Matt does is go off on his own.
Yeah, that was the running gags in this, if you will, is the not believing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Matt hiding that Elektra is Elektra.
Yep.
And then all of them being very offended and can't trust him. I'm glad they didn't harp on that we can't trust you thing for too long. He's just like, yeah, I know, I fucked up, but come on. Move on.
And at first, he didn't know it was her. It wasn't until he heard her breathe that one time. He was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And then Stick confirmed it to him.
Right, because he couldn't believe it at first either, because he watched her die.
He held her in his arms as he died.
And then he heard her breathe, but he didn't hear a heartbeat. And he's like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What a great fucking fight. Sincerely. Like, it was a great scene. And I love how they ended up at that Chinese restaurant.
Yep.
And Danny, and I can't remember if this was the end of 3, beginning of 4, it doesn't matter. But Danny's like, don't worry, I agree, I paid them, you know, they're good, but we had to order 4 of everything.
I gave him my black card, he said that I paid the next 6 months of rent.
Yeah. And he goes, come on, let's eat. You ordered food? Well, I ordered 4 of everything off the menu.
It was part of the deal.
Part of the deal. And he goes, is that pork? Nah, shrimp. Oh, man, that guy's got pork. Yes. And he just looks at him. I did enjoy how resistant Matt Murdock was to this.
Yep.
Because he was fighting against his true nature of being Daredevil.
Yep.
For so long, since the end of that second season and Elektra's death and everything else, and he's trying to go for good for his chicky poo there.
Yep.
But it's not working out for him.
Right. Because in the meantime, I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the order of them. Was Luke Cage before Daredevil season 2?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. So we had Daredevil season 2, and then we had Iron Fist. So things were going on with the hand and everything in New York, and he was just like, nope, I've hung up the cowl. I'm not going to be Daredevil.
Yeah, and that was you're right. And then that was the other thing. It's just like he was trying to, like, you guys don't understand. And basically he does that impassioned speech, but when you're holding something you love dying in your arms and da-da-da-da. And, you know, he had his reasons, and he was also trying to stick to them, and then ultimately in the end he couldn't.
They hear you've got four people who are each watching, walking their own path.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
Fight to be individuals.
Yes.
They do not want partners. They do not want to work together. Even Jessica and Luke, who have technically worked together, were like, no, don't want to.
But Danny was...
She just gets up and walks out. The rest of the sticks, like, sit down. And she just gets up and walks out.
But Danny was just like, we work so well together.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, he started to recognize it because he also knows better than any of them. Like, Daredevil, Matt saw some of the hand.
Right.
You know, he saw some of the crap that was going on. But, you know, Danny knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And he knows that they need to come together.
And, you know, Colleen, of course, gets, like, she feels like she's getting pushed to the back.
Which she kind of was.
Well, yeah, she was. But it was more along the lines of, like, okay, I don't want you to get hurt. Which is kind of ignorant of him because she should be allowed to make her own decisions.
And she's pretty badass.
And she's a pretty badass fighter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's proven really that many times.
Yeah. Yeah, she has. But, you know, finally in episode 4, we get the Defenders all sitting down over Chinese food, you know, and they decide that eventually they decide, hey, we're going to become a team. You know.
Until they're not.
And to fight the hand. And then Stick shows up at the end. You know, shows up at the restaurant and, yeah. And then I have episode 5.
Which, and Matt basically, like, Stick is sitting there telling them,
yeah,
you know, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. And Danny's like, yeah, it is. And Matt's like, Stick's an asshole. Don't trust him. He's just doing it for himself. We can't believe him. They're already mad at Matt.
Yeah.
And now he's like, this guy sucks.
Yep.
So it's just, it's proving to them that nobody can trust anybody else.
Right.
You know, why work together as a team? So we're going to be a team,
but
everything's wrong.
I mean, by the end of the season, by the end of the episode 8, they do come together to become a team.
Tigger just died.
That's too bad. He's the only one.
Was.
So episode 5 is the big Chinese room fight. You know, Alexandra shows up. Basically, she's like, we want you, Danny. We need you alive. And Danny just throughout the rest of the episodes basically thinks, oh, they just want me to join them because I'm a weapon.
Right.
And
but the rest of us who have seen the first episode
right.
are just like, oh, 2 + 2 equals they want his fist.
Right, exactly. They need him for some other reason. But regardless, they need him. So when they're like, Danny, you need to go into hiding because they need you. If they get you, we're all screwed. The whole city's screwed. And Danny's like, no, I need to be there on the front lines fighting. And
it's like, my destiny.
And they're like, no, like you really shouldn't be because you're literally the only thing they want.
Yeah. And I've said, we won't kill you. We want you alive.
And if they get you, who knows what it is that they're going to do when they get you? We have no idea.
We as the viewers can pretty much surmise.
Well, we've seen both sides of the party there.
Yeah.
But they mentioned
that there's a big wall that they can't get through. Explosives don't work. And then Signori Weaver says, oh, but it was built by the monks of Kunlun, and they valued one thing above all else.
The Iron Fist.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just felt like there was a little bit too much conflict at times between the team. I know you need a little bit.
Isn't that kind of the way that this these series have all gone, though? Like, we get some good stuff, and then we get, like, the parts where it's all conflict or argument or, you know, oh, I can't trust you, I can't trust you. Whether it's, you know, Danny can't trust Colleen, or he can't trust the brother and sister that are running his company. Luke with the different people he's working with, whether it's the detective or Claire. Matt with everybody. Jessica with everybody.
You know, Jessica with everybody, especially, I don't know. We get the big fight scene in episode 5.
Another big fight.
Another one in the Chinese restaurant, which was pretty awesome.
Well, I was expecting that we were going to see Signori Weaver start to fight.
We never did.
Because she's standing right there, and she's, like, walking along and, like, touching each one of them and being like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, she's finally going to throw it. She even takes her jacket off at one point. You're like, yeah, she's going to throw it down. And then the next thing you see, like, there's multiple people in there fighting, and she's up on a balcony, and you're like, what?
Where'd she go?
Yeah.
Well, also, like, Jessica Jones had walked off, and then she comes back by driving a car into the building and hitting
Electra. She got into her own fight out.
Yes, there. And hitting Electra with the car.
Yeah, which was great.
It was great, yeah.
No, she wasn't driving, because remember, she was standing out
there.
That's right. She just threw the car. She
pushed it through the door, the wall.
To remind us all that she's super strong.
But, that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
I enjoyed that.
And it was even cooler that she wasn't driving.
That was also the episode where they decide that Danny needs to be, you know, we need to, or maybe it was episode six. It was five or six where they basically decide that Danny, you know what, they want you. So now they all turned against Danny to
lock it up.
Yeah, lock him up, basically. And Luke Cage gets left to babysit him. And, of course, he...
Him and Stick.
Him and Stick, yes. And then, basically, Stick poisons Luke and knocks him out because he's going to kill Danny.
Which, again, all he had to do was get him to Taco Bell.
Right. Well, boy, what it was... Oh, we left on this part. They captured one of the Five Fingers.
Yes.
Colleen's old... Not, you know, not Colleen Sensei,
the newly introduced one that Luke had been... Yes,
that's right. The new guy we met, the... Mr. White Hat or whatever it is.
Yeah, because they said that he was a real African guy with a white hat.
Gun runner, etc. And Luke ends up capturing him, and then they torture him. And it, there's something that he says that that makes Stick think, oh, okay, they want Danny alive because they need him.
Yep.
And he's worth dying over.
Yeah,
and
he's like, all that we care about is the Immortal Iron Fist.
Exactly.
He's the key to everything or something like that.
So he takes off this guy's head.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, oh, why did you do that? And I'm like, why did they do that from the beginning?
Right. If these guys represent the organization, there's five of them. Well, you take one away, now there's four of them.
Right.
And that's essentially, half I can do.
And essentially, Stick boxes up his head and mails it away.
Yep. Guess where that's going.
Yeah. Mails him his head. So, oh, there you go. You got him back now.
But yeah, so Stick and Luke are there watching Danny, who's unconscious
because
Luke pummeled him.
And then Danny wakes up.
Yep. But Stick is burning some incense for clarity.
Well, Danny wakes up and him and Luke have a good conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Stick's like, you can't be his buddy, blah, blah, blah. And essentially, the incense is poisons Luke, knocks him out, and then...
Stick goes to try to kill Danny,
and Danny warns him when Elektra's there. He ends up battling Elektra first spell, and then Elektra kills Stick.
Yep. Which, I gotta say, I did not expect.
I didn't expect it either, but it makes sense.
It does.
You know, yep. It makes sense. So
just as much as it makes sense that Stick would want to kill Danny, because, hey, if they need the Immortal Iron Fist, if he's not around, they can't get what they want. They lose. Right.
So she kills Stick, and then everyone else shows up, and she ends up single-handedly knocking out the rest of the team.
Like, literally,
like knocking legit, them all unconscious. Like, knocks them all unconscious, yeah. And then takes...
Of course, Luke was already kind of down from the incense. So he was fighting at about 25% capacity, we'll say.
Correct. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I would agree with that. But he takes Danny to Alexandra.
Yep.
And turns him over, basically.
She does.
Elektra takes... Danny,
drags him in as they're all looking at the head, the decapitated head, because apparently the mail system works really quickly there.
Pretty damn fast.
Either that or it took her a couple of days to drag him over there.
Not to mention, they just decided that they were going to basically mutiny.
Yeah.
Because Alexandra, Sigourney Weaver's character, is the leader, apparently, of the group.
Yeah.
Of the other.
Do you think that makes her the middle finger or the thumb?
Got to be the index finger because she's number one.
Number one. The pointy one.
Yes.
Pulls the trigger on the gun. Didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did anyway.
Hey, it worked. I thought you were doing Sean Connery. Is that a Sean Conneryism? Anyway, so at some point, I can't remember the conversation, but Alexandra, I'm crossing over shows, reveals to Elektra that she, you know, like, just because she was brought back doesn't mean she's going to stay back. You know, I mean, she could die.
Yep.
But at the same time, if she uses the substance, then she will...
I'm going to live forever. Yeah. And during all this, don't forget, back in, like, episode 3, where they had the boardroom fight.
Yes.
Matt said, Elektra, and it made her pause.
Yes.
Because up until that point, we had seen in the flashbacks that when she came back... She, like, didn't even have language skills at first, and she kept asking who she really was.
Yeah.
And Sigourney Weaver wouldn't tell her. She was like, nope, not telling you.
So they're teasing that she recognizes him.
But then at this point, when she tells her, you know, you won't be alive forever, she goes, yes, you used to be Elektra Nachios, but she died, and you could too.
So perhaps, you know, perhaps... You'll be okay, but perhaps not.
Right.
So, episode 7. After they've all been knocked out, Jessica wakes up. They all wake up at the police station. Jessica's handcuffed to a table. Luke is chilling in one room, and
Matt's in another.
Matt's chilling in the lawyer's office, the DA's office, laying on a couch. So it's like, how did Jessica Jones rate so poorly compared to the other two? Right.
But Matt's very thankful to Foggy that he was not wearing the Daredevil costume or the mask when they brought him in. So yeah. His secret is still safe. That's funny that, you know, with these, the other three,
yeah,
they're very open. Everybody knows their identity.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt is like,
no way,
hell bent.
Yeah.
That, you know, even though, you know, Jessica figures it out by like episode 3 or 4.
It's episode 4 when she says, or maybe it was the end of episode 3, but basically she was just like, you gotta take your mask off and show them who you are. No, I can't do that because I won't be able to, like, you know, it'd be hard for me to recall.
That's right, yeah.
You know.
And that's when he takes it off and he's like, my name's Matt.
Yeah. Episode 7. So
now remember, there are only 8 episodes.
I know.
Jessica, I was telling them.
Oh, Jessica wakes up in the police station, off the table. Murdoch wakes up in the office. The police station. Luke Cage is knocked out. And the bottom of the shaft, Danny is fighting Elektra. And of course, she suckers him into activating his glowing hand by her words, and then punching precisely where it needs to be punched.
Yeah.
Into the wall.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
and then I remind myself, this is based on comic books,
yeah,
so that's exactly the kind of thing that would happen in a collar.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah, he's now fulfilled his purpose, as far as they're concerned.
Right, he's unlocked, he knocked out a wall that was full of skeletal remains of these dragons that they can use to make the substance, and allegedly, when they remove them all, the skeletal remains, the city will collapse? Oh, and let's not forget, Midland Circle Building was built on like a 100-foot deep shaft.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it. Yeah. Scrolling up.
Now, was this the one where Elektra commits her own mutiny? I feel like it was before this.
No, it's when she brings...
Was it when she brought Danny before the hand?
They had the mutiny. She brought in Danny. They let him away. And the others said, like, oh, you should kill. We need to kill these other people. We need to kill the Devil of New York. We need to kill, you know, the Unbreakable One. We need to kill Jessica Jones or whatever.
The Unrelenting One.
The Unrelenting One, yeah. And she's like, okay. And she just turns to go to walk away. And you think, oh, okay, she's going to go kill him. Because... you know, oh, and the last thing she says, you need to kill that Devil of New York, whatever the hell his name is. And she comes back and she kills Alexandra and goes, his name is Matthew.
Yeah.
And then she says, now you work for me.
Yeah.
And then...
And she says, I'm Elektra Natchios.
Yes.
And you work for me.
Yeah. And they went, okay.
Yeah.
But,
because she's the Black Sky.
So that's... It was in episode 8 is when the oldest member of the crew there tells us, she's down in the cemetery, that the... Gao tells us that the skeletal remains are that of dragons, and that is what they're going to use to,
you know, make the
stuff. Make this the substance to power them, and they want to get back to Kunlun. So,
yep.
And hopefully Danny's one that can take them back there.
So at this point, you start thinking to yourself, now wait a minute. We've had... the hand operating in New York, doing all this stuff.
Yep.
To basically get some petrified cocaine.
That's
going to make them immortal.
Basically.
Not for their men, for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Just them.
Just die already.
Yeah.
You know? You had good lives for several hundreds of years. It almost makes it like, it almost makes the lead up to this a little bit diffused. It's not a super weapon. It's not their own backdoor entrance to Kunlun that they're going to use. Kunlun is like a weapon. Yeah, it's a tea. It's
basically like a tea or a salve or a cream or whatever it is how they construct it down.
You know,
because they only described it as a substance.
Yeah. At that point, if I was Danny, I might say, hey, how about this? I'll just activate it. You take your stuff and just go away. Leave the rest of us alone.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. We're done. We can end all this bloodshed and all this crap. Because they just want to live forever. Go live forever. Get away from us.
That's just not in New York.
Yeah.
Not in our city.
If they had been pulling Excalibur out of there and saying, we're going to use this to kill everybody in the world. Well, that's one thing. But yes. They're like, we just want some tea.
Oh, British. Of wanting the tea bit.
That's right.
So anyhow, episode 8.
Which is entitled
The Defenders. Yes. This is when they finally really come together. Well, they go to the building.
Together.
Right now. They go to the building. And the circle building. And they're going to blow it up.
Yep. Because that's what the architect.
Yes. Because this whole thing how Jessica Jones got pulled in was this architect who went missing. And he designed the building. And then they found all the C4 in the place he was staying at. And they found his plans. And basically figured out he had enough explosives to blow this building up.
And he had discovered that if he did it in these places, then it would bury whatever was
hidden down there. And it would basically collapse everything almost into that 100-foot tunnel.
Yep.
And so that's what they did, apparently, with no bomb training whatsoever. Jessica was able to set those explosives where they needed to be. Of course, you know, some guy shows up. There's a machine gun fight. The timer accidentally gets turned on. Misty shows up. She does some killing. Then she gets her arm cut off.
Ooh,
right at the elbow, right arm, you know. And she's in rough shape.
Yeah, but Colleen saves her by decapitating her mentor. I wanted her to say, like, there can be only one.
I did, too. So now we've got, three fingers of the hand are dead. We just have Gao and the Asian fellow left.
Yeah, the one who refused to speak anything but Japanese.
Yeah, well, he ran off in the end anyways. We don't see what happened to him. But, you know, this again culminates with some pretty amazing fights. Some fights down in the tunnels.
Yep.
Fights upstairs. Fights everywhere. They're just great fights. And I think they do a big enough fight that Gao slips out. We don't know where she went or how she got out. We know the elevator got broken or whatever. But essentially, like...
That was a cool scene.
That was a cool scene.
That was really cool. Like, the elevator's falling and Danny and Luke are in it. And they're like, ah! And then it just stops and they look up and Jessica's holding the cable.
Like, you guys want to, like, start climbing?
Yeah.
But you know what? When she let it go, it never fell all the way back down into the shaft. Like, and I kept waiting for it to come out, you know, like, crush the old lady or knock her down or something, but whatever.
But why were only those two in the elevator?
Yes, they were down fighting, and basically Daredevil told them to leave.
Yeah.
We got to get going. You got to get to the surface. Got to get people out of here because of the bombs. I'll be right behind you.
I can convince Elektra to be good again.
I'm going to be right behind you. And he basically tells Danny, just go. Protect my city.
Yep.
And he's caught in the explosion, and the assumption is that he's dead. Now, me personally, I was like, no. There's no way, but I'm wondering what they're going to go with. And I just had to wait to, you know.
Yeah, basically, at the last, you know, the last scene with him down there, he's got Elektra there, and they've beaten each other, and he's been saying, you know, you can be good, I've seen it in you, and they do the whole back and forth thing, and then finally she comes too, and she's like, I'm sorry for all the pain and suffering that I've caused you, Matthew.
Yes.
And they kind of embrace, and then you see the building just collapse down in. He's like, you know we're going to die here, and she's like, no, this is what living really is.
Oh, yes, no, we're living now or some shit, yeah, it was corny. But, of course, we see after we go and everyone talks to everyone and, hey, we're still friends and none of us went to jail.
Yeah.
For anything we did because the police didn't file reports, so the DA's office can't prosecute us. They can. Everyone's living happily ever after.
Basically,
you know what I mean?
Even Foggy and Karen have kind of moved on. They're both still upset, but they've kind of moved on.
But everyone's sad about Murdoch, about Matt being dead.
Yeah.
And like I said, he shows
up. But they're not letting it affect their lives that much.
Well, no. But he shows up at like
a nunnery?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, I was trying to figure out what it is, but
it's some kind of some sort of a hospital
temple place. At first, I thought, oh, maybe she's got like some fiddleheads. Not fiddleheads. What am I saying? She's like, I thought like she had somehow got him out, and like they were at this not a nunnery, but some cabin, and
oh, you thought that was Elektra?
Yes, at first. You know what I mean? Until she said Maggie.
Yeah.
She said Maggie, he's awake.
Go tell Maggie he's
awake. Go tell Maggie he's awake. I don't know what.
I don't either.
That's weird. But yeah, to go tell Maggie he's awake.
And I thought you were trying to refer to the rosary beads that were there or something.
Nope. Nope.
Why would he think fiddleheads?
Oh, is that where you got the nunnery from, is the rosary beads?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was her sitting on the bed. That somehow they got out of there.
Plus, I think she was wearing a habit.
Oh. Perhaps.
He's all bandaged and bruised.
Yeah, but the time has not passed very much because he's still stove up. It's only been a couple of days, probably. I don't know. I thought it was – I'm glad they didn't, like, do a mystery with the Daredevil or showing us Matt at the end. Like, they didn't just leave us on the cliff. Like, oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure still they in there?
Already told us that we were getting a season three, so –
Right, but now it's like, okay, so is season three going to be in New York City? Is it going to be them off in the country somewhere? You know, like, what is it we're going to see? Either way, I'm going to watch it.
I really want season three to bring Wilson Fisk back in a big way.
Misty got her arm cut off.
Yeah. You mentioned that.
I did?
Yeah. You said that it was right up by her elbow.
Right up by her elbow.
Yep.
Now, in the comic book, she got her arm cut off as well, right?
I'm not aware.
See, I thought, I remember Rue talking about that. And I was trying to figure, all right, how are they going to do that? And then we find out that the hospital she's in is Danny owns it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay, she'll be fine.
And it's state of the art.
Yeah, so. She'll be fine. She'll get her arm back.
So after breaking them all down, my thoughts were this. One, awesome fight scenes.
A lot of really good fight scenes.
Really well. You know, these series, if nothing else, choreographed some great fight scenes.
A lot of great action
scenes. Two, I really liked, as I said before, how they managed to bring all these disparate characters into the same world that they already lived in, as it is. It was less awkward than like an Avengers.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, oh, how come we're going to bring them all together? You know, even more so in Age of Ultron, like, why are we going to bring them all together?
Real quick, now, did you like the fact that they took so long to finally get them to meet up?
I did.
See, at first I was like, after the first episode, I was like, okay, so none of them even really met either any of them, type of
thing. Yeah.
And then as the slow build went on, I'm like, okay, I actually like this.
Yeah, I really did.
I actually like this.
Because it played to all their characters, too, because none of them liked working together except for Danny, you know, because he realized that teamwork can make a difference. And I liked how they built up to that. It was not just like, we've all got to come together in a moment of crisis. I mean, like I said, Jessica even walked out of the restaurant. She's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. And then basically. And then found that guy in the car and beat the tar out of him. And then threw his car through the window. But, yeah, I really liked that. I liked the fact that they didn't actually form up until the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely appreciated that. Some of it, like I said, felt a little hacky, you know, like the fact that they were finding dragon bones in one building under a building.
And that was the other thing, too. It's like, they say, well, once we remove these dragon bones, this city will crumble.
Yeah.
Is it because they took them out and they're supporting it somehow? Like,
if that's the case, I'd say maybe 2-3 blocks at most.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, or is it you'll have all the power and you're going to crumble the city?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand the...
I didn't either.
And they also... The little earthquake we saw earlier, was that them trying to blow open the door, do you think?
That's the impression that I got. Because she said that they tried everything and it wouldn't budge. But, yeah, so some of that seemed a little hokey.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked it.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it. There were still some areas that it dragged a little bit. Not as much as some of the other seasons, though. Like the 13 episodes of Luke Cage, I felt there were a lot of areas that really
that was so rough. That was I had the hardest time watching that one.
Yeah. But overall, I liked it. I haven't looked at the reviews, you know, I didn't want to go into this looking at the reviews and saying, okay, what's everybody think? And then seeing how I liked it. I mean, everybody hated Iron Fist preliminarily.
I kind of liked it, though.
I loved Iron Fist.
I liked it. I watched it.
The more of it I liked.
It was Luke Cage was the one. I had to like stop for like a month and then go back and force myself to finish it.
Same here.
I just couldn't get through it.
Yep.
And the other thing I noticed, it was weird. Like, depending on, like, when we first meet the characters, each one, like, when we see them, it's kind of, like, in the vein of from their, like, the same style and feel and music and everything of their individual series.
Yep. Even the intro music and the intro, like, themes.
Yep.
It felt like a little bit of music pulled from each one of them.
Yep. And then, like, depending on the fight scene, whoever was the lead guy or whatever, they played that style of music from their TV show as well. So I liked that.
Yep.
Because they wanted to give each character the same feel as their original show, if you will.
Yeah. I liked some of the in-jokes, you know, like them talking about, oh, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, we'd make a great team. I don't see it. Like, come on!
Yeah, exactly.
The little weird will they, won't they, because, like, Luke gets out and he's with Claire and he's like, yeah, Claire. And I mean, he ravishes her.
Yeah, he does.
And then
he
meets up with Jessica and he's like, hey, buddy. Like, are we going to do this again?
I liked, what was it? I just had it when we were talking a minute ago. It'll come back to me, maybe.
I'm sure.
I don't know. There was a lot I liked about the show.
There was a lot. And some of it, I was like, yeah, but it was never enough to pull me out, like with Luke Cage, or like with some of the corniness in Iron Fist. And
I was kind of like, meh, about Danny's attitude being towards, well, if the only reason they're looking for is me because they're going to use me to get what they want done, I better just stay and fight and put myself out in the open. Like, he argued, like, when they were like, no, you need to stay under wraps for a while. And he was like, no, I don't.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I liked it a lot.
Yep.
I liked it a lot.
Yep. I would definitely recommend it.
I'm looking forward to reading the upcoming articles with everyone. Oh, these are all the Easter eggs, and this is what you missed. And
even more than that, I'm looking forward to all the butthurt fanboys who are like, you know, oh, this is what's wrong with everything in the Defenders and why it sucks. And
I thought they did a great job with it. I thought they did a great job of doing a team up with the characters. And
the biggest bullshit.
Oh,
entire episodes.
No Punisher. Yeah.
After being told.
After they advertised he's going to be in it.
Yeah.
And he's not in it.
Yeah.
That annoyed me.
Dick move.
Yeah, that annoyed me. But
I'm wondering if when the Punisher comes out, if they're going to like try to go for a more TVMA kind of thing.
Probably.
Because
you should. The fight scenes. Okay, we talked about the hallway fight scenes. Well, Punisher's hallway fight scene in the jail cell, where I mean, it is violent and it is bloody.
Yep. It's
pretty awesome, actually.
The drill to the foot.
No, that'll do me in every time.
Yep.
But, the Punisher trailer just looks awesome.
Yes.
And I look forward to watching that.
I do too.
I'm hoping that's sooner than later.
Yep. Well, we know that they've got another season of Jessica Jones because we got that picture of Kilgrave. We know that they're doing Daredevil season 3.
Yep. We'll see.
Yeah. We shall see.
I guess that sums it up.
I think that's about it.
Good. I need to go to bed.
Yeah. I think I do too.
Yeah.
So,
reach out to us. Give us a chat on the Twitter machine. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at The Quantum Geek, G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch? And we got that Facebook page too. So thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next week.